discussion another day. Tomorrow, I'm doing my famous show on the Second Amendment and guns. Listen in for that. For now, this is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is urging the Pakistani government not to postpone the January 8th parliamentary elections after the assassination of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. The only Islamic state with a nuclear arsenal, Pakistan is a land of increasing turmoil, greatly worsened by Bhutto's assassination. She led a pro-democracy group, widely expected to win next month's parliamentary elections. Angry Pakistanis have now taken to the streets, throwing rocks at police, setting cars on fire, and blocking the area. Police fired on one crowd, killing two people in the city of Kharpur, and in Peshawar, tear gas and batons were used to break up riots. Bhutto's body is already on the way to the town of Sukkur, Pakistan, for burial next to her famous father, also a former prime minister of Pakistan. He formed the Pakistan People's Party. Bhutto's burial will be conducted sometime within the next 24 hours at the Bhutto family's ancestral gravesite. The United Nations Security Council voted today unanimously to condemn Bhutto's assassination. Political leaders from around the world spoke of her commitment to democratic reform and her bravery. United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for Pakistani peace and national unity in reaction to her death. Police say there is evidence the men attacked by a Siberian tiger at the San Francisco Zoo threw things at the animal, and at least one victim may have dangled his foot into the cat's enclosure. One 17-year-old boy was killed by the tiger. Two adults were badly injured. The 300-pound female was shot and killed by police. Near Seattle, Washington, Kings County prosecutors are preparing multiple murder charges against Michelle Anderson and Joseph McEnroe, both 29 years old. The two suspects are being held without bail in connection with the shooting deaths of six members of Ms. Anderson's family, and that was on Christmas Eve. In Houston, NASA officials canceled next month's launch of the space shuttle Atlantis. Engineers are currently solving problems with the spacecraft's external fuel tank. NASA officials say it may be mid to late January before the Atlantis heads toward the orbiting International Space Station. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll check business and more after this.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for: quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
More than 3 million American taxpayers will have to wait until February to receive their refund checks. The Internal Revenue Service is placing the blame on Congress and their late fix of the alternative minimum tax. Congress put a one-year freeze on growth of the AMT last week, which shields taxpayers, some who make just $65,000 a year. United Airlines canceled dozens of flights because of tough winter weather across the Midwest. The second consecutive storm since Christmas brought up to 20 inches of snow to Colorado. 168 United flights were grounded across the nation, marking the fourth straight day the airline canceled scheduled domestic runs. Retail shares dropped this afternoon as financial experts wondered how retailers will wrap up their biggest annual sales period. U.S. retail shopping sunk more than 10% for the week ending December 22nd. Orders for durable goods did not rise as expected, up just 0.1%, according to the U.S. Commerce Department. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $96.62 a barrel, gold at $831.80 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down, way down, 192 points to end at 13,359. NASDAQ dropped 47 points, the S&P 500 off 21. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Good afternoon and welcome to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. Today is December the 27th, Thursday. I'm your correspondent, Tony Seaton. Jim Mongia is going to be joining us in this first half hour. He's the founder of a group called IndependentVoice.org. We have a whole bunch of Democratic and Republican candidates who ain't appealing whatsoever to the voters, and that is why the number of independents is rising. And we'll talk to Jim about what really defines independence and what effects this may have on our coming elections. In our second half hour, Brent Budowski is going to be with us. He is our observer on the scene in Washington, D.C. Today, Seaton Notes is on deportation principles. But first, our quote of the day is from Oscar Levant, who said, "I am no more humble than my talents require." Don't want to stretch that one, do we? Some observations on the news. We told you yesterday about the unendorsement amid the flip-flop by the Concord Monitor, a liberal-ish New Hampshire newspaper. Yesterday, the Manchester Union Leader, a conservative paper which has endorsed McCain, declared that despite an expertly rehearsed sales pitch, the more Mitt Romney speaks, the less believable he becomes. Remember, Romney was the governor of Massachusetts, the neighboring state. They got a good look at him. Did you see the Reuters lead? Shotgun in hand, rising Republican candidate Mike Huckabee bagged a peasant on Wednesday as U.S. presidential hopefuls hunted for votes 8 days before the first contest in a wide-open nomination race. Oh, what? Not a peasant? Oh, a pheasant. Well, that certainly is more civilized, isn't it? Hillerod would have stood a better chance at picking up the Democratic nomination if, well, there's a long list of things she might have done. Some therapy could have helped to maybe temper her overt ambition. And shedding the scurrilous type she hired as top campaign people, gutter swipes like Mark Penn and Howard Wolfson. But I'm thinking that her biggest fault might have been her on-again-off-again attacks on her opponents, particularly Barack Obama when he started closing the gap on the former First Lady. Not only don't people like attacks, but they especially don't think much of a candidate who attacks and then falls in a pool of her own spit. Consider that 2 weeks ago, Hillerod's campaign came out with a list of 32 former U.S. ambassadors and former diplomats who had worked during the Clinton years and had signed a letter approving her foreign policy credentials. Wow, big time. But then last week, Obama's campaign came out with a list of 47 non-military advisors who served under Slick Willie and have now endorsed his wife's main competition. The four dozen were part of a list of 73 foreign policy experts supporting the senator from Illinois. You think with all Condi Rice has gotten wrong over the past 6 years, including getting us into an illegal and immoral war, if that isn't redundant, that she would have learned to keep her nose out of places it didn't belong. But she's just another Bush toady who will further shred her own reputation when called upon to do so by the White House. Last week, she was asked at a press conference about Governor Huckleberry's article in Foreign Policy and his comments about the administration having an arrogant bunker mentality on foreign policy, said our Secretary of State. Quote, "The idea that somehow this is a go-it-alone policy is simply just ludicrous. One would only have to be not observing the facts, let me say that, to say that this is now a go-it-alone foreign policy." I had trouble reading that because it's almost as inarticulate as her boss. Rice got testy with reporters saying, quote, "Look, I don't comment on other people's comments. I don't have time, all right? I really don't have time to worry about this," end quote. But then she went on to insist that relations with our allies have never been better, and how wonderful we all are doing in Afghanistan and North Korea and with Iran. Rice went on, "I can go on and on and on and on." That's what she said, concluding, "And so I would just say to people, look at the facts." Huckabee said it didn't appear that Rice had read, actually, the whole article. The chairman and ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee expressed appreciation that the National Football League will be broadcasting a game on Saturday on several networks instead of just their own. Senator John Kerry, he was nearly beside himself with joy. If he had been as animated against the Swift voters in 2004, he could have won the White House. "Guys, football is a game. Life is real. You're on the Senate. Do something for us. Get to work." His stage name was Young Jock. That's how you can tell the difference in court these days between a rapper and a professional football player. This fellow was caught by security at the Cleveland airport on Sunday trying to board a flight with a semi-automatic handgun and ammunition in his carry-on bag. Of course, he told them he didn't know how it got there. He was released on $50,000 bond, but he didn't show up at a court hearing on the matter yesterday. Jock's attorney apologized, saying his client was out of town dealing with family matters. Judge didn't buy that. He raised the bail to $100,000 and issued a warrant for the man's arrest. It didn't get a lot of attention, but the United Nations General Assembly last week voted for a global moratorium on capital punishment. It was a non-binding resolution. Of course, the UN had voted down similar proposals for years, but this time it was passed, 104-54, with 29 nations abstaining. Among those voting against the resolution were the usual suspects, including Iran, Iraq, China, Pakistan, Sudan, and the United States. You know, people can tell a lot about a country by the nations they vote with. The UN vote, on top of the New Jersey banning state murder, were two healthy signs, observed a New York Times editorial on the subject, quote, "Rome continued a tradition to mark victories against capital punishment. It bathed the Colosseum, where Christians once were fed to lions, in golden light." You're listening to America Back on Track. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Do you know the expression, put on your best face? Never was that suggestion more important, especially in the increasingly fast-paced world of the Internet. The people at Byte Technology are experts in making sure that the hits their clients' websites receive turn into a satisfying visit and more business. Byte gets to the core of every business and brings the heart of the operation to the Internet. Whether you are selling products or services, reaching out for new business, or supplying information to a sector of the business community, it is vital that you attract the right visitors and deliver them what they need quickly and effectively. Byte Technology goes further, providing maintenance updates to keep your site ahead of the curve, ahead of the competition. Assure your company's future. Talk with the team at Byte Technology to learn how you can put on your best internet face. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
We're back. America Back on Track. And joining us now by telephone is Jim Monja. He is the founder of IndependentVoice.org. Jim, welcome to America Back on Track.
Thanks so much for having me.
What is your organization? Tell us a little bit about how it was found, how you founded it, and why, and where it is today.
Independent Voice is an organization that represents the country's millions and millions of independent voters. As you know, 42% of Americans self-identify as independents. And in California, 3.5 million people are actually registered independent. And so there needs, you know, there's clearly not a voice for voters who are of the independent persuasion. And so Independent Voice was started to represent those perspectives in the political process.
Are you a voice for the independents? Are you a membership organization?
Yes, we are a membership organization, and we are a voice for independent voters. And, you know, one of the things that unifies independent voters is the belief in political reform, is support for democracy, and increasing openness and government accountability, and, you know, fighting against the big money special interests who have perverted our democracy. And so one of the things that we recently did as part of impacting and measuring the power of independent voters in the presidential elections is that 29 states have open primaries where independents can vote in either the Democratic or the Republican primaries. So we developed a concept and an online presidential poll called independentprimary.com, and over 100,000 people voted online in those presidential primaries so that the voice of independent voters can be heard.
What is your sense about the people who call themselves independents? Did they used to be Republican or Democrat and then change their mind?
Well, yes, many. I think it goes across the spectrum. I think it's many Americans who become increasingly disaffected with the two major parties and with the fact that public policy is so abstracted from the American people. So, for example, even though 70% of the American people oppose the war in Iraq, neither the Democrats nor the Republicans have a plan for getting us out of Iraq. Or the overwhelming majority of Americans support having national health care, yet we still don't have national health care. So every election comes along and the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, talk about health care, talk about a peace economy, talk about all these different issues. But the fact is that they get so much money from the multinational corporations that they're beholden to those special interests. And so more and more Americans are becoming disaffected with the two parties, and they want to see a real voice for change in America.
Jim, what has been the trend of people shifting from one of the two major parties to becoming independents?
It's been very, very substantial. The only grouping of voters that's growing at this point, both the Democrats and the Republicans are losing membership. The only group that's gaining membership are the large group of independents. And that's increasing substantially. Independent voters have tripled over the last 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So I hadn't a sense of the magnitude of how many people are becoming, you know, independent.
Have you noticed anything in particular over the last 2 years or so? I mean, has it in, you say over the last 10 years it's tripled. Has it picked up speed?
Yes. It's increasing as we go. A year and a half ago, something like 32% of Americans identified as independent, and now that's up to 42%.
Where are they?
So that's a really serious and dramatic increase over the last couple of years.
Where are they coming from?
I think they're coming from all walks of life. They're coming from, you know, disaffected Democrats, disaffected Republicans, you know, the 50% of Americans who don't vote because they're so disgusted. Many of them are getting energized now, now that there's an independent political movement and that it supports, you know, issues of democracy and political reform and government accountability and fiscal responsibility. Now that there's a political force which is beginning to speak for those disaffected voters, it's continuing to grow.
Have you seen in particular whether there is a steeper decline of those calling themselves Republicans or Democrats, or is it both parties?
It's both, though there's a more significant decline right now of people identifying as Republicans, and I think that has a lot to do with the Bush presidency and the war in Iraq. So you're seeing a sharper decline amongst people who consider themselves Republicans, but both parties are losing voters at this point.
What about the third parties, the Greens and the American Independent, Peace and Freedom, that sort of thing? Libertarian?
Well, I mean, it's great that we have those parties. I think there's a couple of issues that come to mind. I mean, one is that most independents disdain political parties altogether. So they don't, you know, they're disgusted with the corruption of the Democratic and Republican parties, and therefore they're not interested in joining a party, because otherwise you would see a dramatic increase in the number of registered voters in those third parties. So most independents are just tired of political parties altogether, and they want to see a new mode of political activity. I think, as well, you have a situation where both, you know, the major media and also the laws that have been enacted by Democratic and Republican Party legislatures have basically prevented third parties from being able to grow. And also from, non-affiliated independents. So, for example, if you run for president as a Democrat or Republican, you need about 30,000 signatures to get on the ballot in every state across the country. But if you're an independent, you need 50 times as many. You need 1.5 million signatures to get on the same state ballots. So it's clearly stacked against independents.
We're talking
and,
with,
you know, that's what the third parties come up against as well.
We're talking with Jim Manja. He is the founder of IndependentVoice.org, and we'll be back getting a better look at who are these independents and where might they go in this election year right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
Want to start off the new year with a global internet presence but confused by all the ads for websites? Let Carmel.com and Boulevard's New Media give your business the gift of an internet page and internet advertising without all the worries. Get the results you want from internet advertising. Carmel.com provides the production graphics, designs, and writes your own unique web page. We brand your own logo and link global visitors to your page on Carmel.com. And we optimize your brand in all of our top city.com sites. We offer free toll-free numbers that connect direct to your phone line, free booking engines for hotels and inns. And we offer low monthly rates for retail and service businesses with all of your production costs free. So why wait another year for a web page? Give your business the benefits of Carmel.com's internet advertising with your free web page. Call us at 831-624-8889 or email contact at Carmel.com.
Have you ever found yourself swatting at a fly no one else sees? Chances are you're seeing what we commonly call a floater. Many people have them and have had them for a while. Floaters are condensed proteins located in the gel-like part of our eyes called the vitreous. As we age, this gel becomes more liquefied, and so whatever debris was once trapped inside is now freer to float around. They are typically harmless, but you should check with your eye doctor if you notice new floaters, especially if they appear after a flash of light, or if you should notice a curtaining effect of your side vision. Otherwise, that squiggly critter you see, especially when you look at a blue sky or a white background, is probably with you for life and should simply be ignored. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
We're back. America Back on Track. We're talking with Jim Manja. He's the founder of IndependentVoice.org. And if you want more information about his organization, you have but to go to our website, QNNAmerica.com, and we have a link to it, as we do with all of our guests. Jim, before the break, I don't think I asked my question properly. Have you seen a fall off from amongst the third parties, like the Greens and the Libertarians and Peace and Freedom, people leaving the smaller parties, the minor parties, to become independents?
No, I think many people register in those third parties because they consider themselves independent. So there's actually been a slight increase in the registrations in those third parties. I think what you're seeing is the vast majority of new registrations are happening with decline to state, what we call in California decline to state independence. But there has not been a fall off in third party registration. In fact, that's increased, though less so than the broad independent voters in the middle. But I think clearly people are looking for alternatives to the two major parties.
What about those of us? I'm one of the decline to state here in California. We're not allowed to vote in different party primaries all the time, are we?
Yeah, it's up to the central committees of each of the parties. Each year they make a decision as to whether we'll be allowed.
And what is our situation? And we're part of that super insanity on February 5th. Or what are we allowed to do this year? Or just in
this year we can vote in the Democratic primary.
But not the Republican.
But not the Republican primary, which I think is a big mistake on the part of the Republican Party.
It would be there first. But in New Hampshire, they can vote in either party primary. Is that right?
Exactly. In New Hampshire and in 29 other states, they can vote. 28 other states, they can vote. Texas is an open primary state. Many other states are. Some of the big states are open primary states. So independents carry a lot of leverage in those states.
What are we seeing in terms of the polling numbers as far as are any of the particular major candidates getting an indication of support from the independents?
Well, interestingly, in the independent primary that we held, which ran for about 2.5 weeks, Dennis Kucinich won on the Democratic side and Ron Paul won on the Republican side. So I thought it was very interesting that independents in that poll, you know, the 110,000 independents who logged on and voted, were saying that they wanted candidates who were speaking out against the party establishment. They wanted the Democrat and the Republican, who was clearly the insurgent within those party primaries. So I thought that was extremely interesting.
Well, it is interesting, and I don't understand why, if the independents are so strong for Paul and Kucinich, who, I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, wouldn't have a chance of winning a national nomination if they were the only candidates in the race. I'm not trying to put them down. It's just that they have so little support in the national numbers that when you look at the independents, it seems very out of whack.
Yeah, I think that, I'm not sure, obviously, because no one's gone to the polls yet. So it may be that, you know, for example, in an open primary state like New Hampshire, where independents can vote in either the Democratic or Republican primaries, I think if Kucinich and Paul do better than expected, then I think that traditional perspective is going to be called into question. I think, yes, much of the national polling shows, you know, the top candidates, and then consequently that through the media gives the most coverage to. But I think if you had a level playing field where all of the candidates, you know, were given equal access to the airwaves and people were able to hear, I think you'd have a very different situation. And that's why the Democratic and Republican parties keep things so closed down, because they want to control who we get to hear from. But what we did with independent primaries, everybody was able to get the same information on all of the candidates and make their decision. And so, you know, we saw those results where Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul won their respective primaries. So I thought that was very interesting, because I think what it says is that if everyone gets all of the information instead of the filtered information, we might have a very different outcome.
Well, it also raises questions about why we don't have more charismatic or effective campaigners holding to and promoting the views that Kucinich and Paul do. I mean, I know Paul has done well, you know, raising massive amounts of money in a single day on the internet, that sort of thing. But neither he nor Kucinich seems to have the presence, if you will, to win on a national level.
Well, I think interestingly, though, if you look at the situation with the war, and the fact that 4 years ago the Democratic Party did not oppose the war, and they actually nominated a candidate who pretty much, you know, was just slightly more against the war than President Bush, you know, with John Kerry. And now every Democratic candidate is coming out very strongly against the war, and I think we can give credit to Dennis Kucinich for that, because he's been, you know, the leader of the fight against the war for many years. So I think, in some ways, I think that the political, you know, I think your point is well taken. I think the political system is very stacked against insurgent candidates and candidates who aren't deemed as quote-unquote electable or aren't the favorites of the party establishment. But I think what you see in both Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich is that they've had a tremendous impact on the debate, and that the presidential elections are much more interesting and much more open than certainly I remember in my lifetime over the last 20 years. So I think, you know, again, I think all kinds of things are opening up now. What you see is that more and more Americans are independent. More and more Americans are looking at other candidates besides who the party establishment tells them to look at. The media is starting to open up and give more coverage to those candidates. So who knows what's going to happen over the next 10 years, but I think we're going to see some major changes.
We're talking with Jim Manji. He's the founder of IndependentVoice.org about the independents in this country and what effect they may have, what we can do to fix our elections process. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track.
I know your secret. Nobody told me, but I know. Every time your little girl wants you to read her a story and you tell her you're too busy, I know. When your boy needs help with homework and you tell him to ask his mother, I know. Your wife asks you whether the warranty is still good on the broken dishwasher and you tell her you're too tired to look for it, I know. You're very good at keeping a secret, but it does take a lot of effort to keep the charade going. It could be very scary and embarrassing if anyone found out. But I know your secret. You can't read. Neither can 93 million American adults. You're in big company. Instead of running scared, become a hero in your own family. Find a local literacy program at your library. It's free. The day you whisper in your wife's ear, "Honey, I can read," just watch how big her smile is.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
We're back, America Back on Track, talking with Jim Manji of IndependentVoice.org. Jim, you noted how difficult it is for independents to get on the ballots in all 50 states. I'm thinking of someone like Michael Bloomberg, for example, who certainly has the resources to get out the signatures he needs to. It seems more and more this year that the public is unhappy with the Democratic and Republican choices. Do you see an independent candidate being viable?
I think an independent candidate with the kinds of resources, like a Michael Bloomberg, I think certainly could be viable. And in some ways that's a great thing, but it's also a shame, because the fact is there should be, you know, many candidates for us to choose from, and it shouldn't be so insurmountable for an independent to run for office in the United States of America. And it certainly shouldn't be the case that you have to get 50 times as many signatures as a Democrat or Republican to get on the same ballot. I think the positive aspect of a Bloomberg candidacy is obviously that he has the resources, you know, to go that extra mile and to be competitive with the Democratic and Republican party establishments. And I think that's making the Democrats and Republicans both extremely nervous. Now, whether Bloomberg will actually run or not remains to be seen. I don't think he's particularly interested in running if he can't win. And so I think he's going to assess who the nominees are, what the polling looks like, before he makes his decision. I think from the vantage point of building an independent movement, the issue of winning is not so important. It's more an issue of how do you build a movement, not whether you win or not. And, you know, the American political system is much too, you know, is overly focused on the issue of winning. You know, in European parliamentary systems, for example, you have political parties that are much more about representing their constituents and building a movement for change and so on, because you know, you can win 1 year and lose the next and then win the next again. But, you know, we're so overly focused on a winner-take-all system, where you either win this election or you're finished, that I think it, you know, it kind of perverts democracy sometimes.
I don't understand. What are you talking about when you say representing people and moving for change? We haven't, we don't even have a concept of that here. I'm thinking that there is a possibility for independents to be successful, even if they don't have the huge financial resources. And I would point to how well Huckabee has done with his meager resources. And the fact that the internet is so ubiquitous in our lives, that if someone came along, and my favorite right now is Leon Panetta, who is certainly not declared, but I mean, if we wound up with a choice between, for instance, oh, I don't know, if Huckabee came through the February 5th elections in good shape and Hillary's opposition negative numbers were in the 60s or 70 percentile, who knows who could show up?
Yes, I agree with you. I think the internet is kind of leveled the playing field to some extent, and you know, who knows where it's, you know, how much further that's going to go. But I think that there's a, and that's why I think independent voice and the independent primary is so successful, because you know, now people can kind of type in the word independent and find, you know, if they consider themselves an independent, they can find some organizations that represent them, and we don't need the big media bucks or you know, the advertising to kind of get the word out anymore. So I think that has, and that's partly why I think you see a presidential race that's seemingly much more open and much more interesting. So a lot more people are tuned in. A lot of people are, you know, the whole Netroots movement where, you know, you have millions and millions of people who are participating in politics through the internet. I think that's a very positive and democratic process and activity.
I want to ask you as a professional how you feel about some suggestions I would have for election reform. One would be to have all our primaries on the same day, the day after Labor Day, for example, so that we could cut this elections process way down. Two, that there would be no private funds in the campaigns, that there would be no political commercials of any sort, that every broadcaster would be required to provide a certain number of minutes in advance of the primaries and the general elections?
Great ideas. I think, you know, I think we need a whole host of reforms to kind of move things forward, but I think the two that you just mentioned are really, really great ideas. You know, money corrupts. So if you give everybody the same amount of money and it's about their creativity and their ideas rather than, you know, who can sell out the best. I think you have a much more democratic process. And I also think having a national primary is a very interesting concept because in some ways it measures the mood of the nation as a whole, you know, rather than balkanizing us into those state primaries. And those, you know, I think those are very creative ideas. So, I don't know, maybe you should become the candidate of independent voice, or maybe you should consider an independent run, because I think those are the kinds of ideas that, you know, we need to kind of reinvigorate our democracy and our political system.
Jim Munge, I very much appreciate your being with us today. I'm not the candidate type. I used to smoke marijuana. I've been married too many times. But
you didn't inhale, I bet.
Oh, boy, did I. and I enjoyed it. Thank you, Slick Willie Clinton. I'd like to ask you to join us again that we can continue this conversation, because it seems to me there are more people out there who believe what you and I are talking about than anything they're hearing from the candidates.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And we will be back with more right after these messages. Stay tuned. You're listening to America Back on Track on the Quality News Network.
You know you can depend on QNN for honest news. Now we want you to know about an honest source of information on one of the country's most desirable vacation destinations, Carmel by the Sea on California's beautiful Central Coast. That source is the best address in Carmel, carmel.com. Just a few simple clicks and you're visiting a website that mirrors all that Carmel stands for, quality, character, tradition, beauty, the great outdoors by the sea, cultural heritage, and the best shopping, charming inns, superb dining, world-class art, music, and theater, a cornucopia of delights. So when you're planning your next getaway, go to the best address in Carmel, carmel.com, for tips on everything Carmel. Then put that information to good use by visiting Carmel by the Sea for an unforgettable getaway. Carmel.com.
Keep current on events during the day with the finest newscast in the country right here on the Quality News Network. The QNN newscasts are delivered at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. Eastern through 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. QNN delivers almost three times the number of stories you'd hear on mainstream networks or public radio. Plus, QNN gives you the most comprehensive business coverage of any general news source. The QNN Headline News Service is for everyone who wants to stay on top of the news. We report national and international news stories, but we leave out the political slant and unnecessary bells and whistles, unlike so many other news media organizations. Hear the latest news from the Quality News Network online at qualitynewsnetwork.com or call your local news radio station and tell them you want them to carry QNN newscasts, the finest in the country.
You're tuned to America Back on Track here on the Quality News Network. And now joining us from inside the Beltway, our Washington observer, Brent Badowski. Brent, welcome back to America Back on Track.
Good to be here, Tony.
Kind of distressing news when we got up this morning. I haven't been a big fan of Benazir Bhutto's, but, God, it just grabbed my gut.
Yeah, it's a tragedy, sadly a predictable one, and sadly with more predictable tragedies to come unless something changes about what our government is doing and what the government in Pakistan is doing.
What is your sense of what is to come? What can our government do?
Well, the big problem is that our obsession since 2002 in the United States has been Iraq, to the exclusion of just about everything else in the world. And it has not only distorted and disrupted our own military, and continues to do so today, but it diverted resources and robbed resources away from the Afghanistan conflict. The Afghanistan conflict is in big trouble right now. Even some of our allies are starting to pull out or not do enough. We have sacrificed the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, where the border is now full of poppy growers who are expanding in record numbers, the opium trade. And you have an expansion dramatically of the Taliban, which is resurging. And the predictable step from that is it has begun to creep back into Pakistan and further corrupt the Pakistani government, which is a dictatorship to begin with, which has outposts of support for al-Qaeda within the government, which has been essentially putting Osama under their protection on that border since 2002. That's the problem. The solution is to start unwrapping the obsession with Iraq, to start pulling some troops out of Iraq in a reasonable way, although sadly some of them are going to have to go to Afghanistan to try to stabilize Afghanistan and to try to prevent any more deterioration from there, to try to get some control over the border from both the Taliban and the al-Qaeda people and the drug pushers, and to try to stop the ongoing deterioration into Pakistan. And finally, we need to send a message to Musharraf that he's not acting like a friend, he's not acting like an ally, he's not acting like a Democrat, and he's not acting like a Pakistani nationalist. And they have to end that dictatorship. They have to move towards democratic institutions in a real way. He may well have to go and may well be gone within 60 to 90 days. But we're supporting a corrupt dictatorship there that has had our real enemy, who's not Iraq, it's bin Laden and al-Zahiri, under their protection of Musharraf. And I predict what we'll soon find out is, no matter who pulled the trigger today and blew up the bomb, that there were probably deliberate and certainly incompetent security shortcomings around Benazir Bhutto, who's been warning about that for some time. So essentially, we have to begin by reversing the flow of our obsession with Iraq. We have to stabilize Afghanistan, get more control over the border, and send a message that we're not going to keep sending $10 billion a day to Musharraf when he declares martial law, arrest the Supreme Court, puts his opponents in jail, and lets things like this happen in this country, which I suspect we will soon find it could have been prevented and didn't, even if it wasn't the cause, and that remains to be seen.
$10 million a day, too, Musharraf.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And, you know, right now we found out just a few days ago that a good deal of the aid we're giving him has not been going to get Al-Qaeda. It's been going to arm himself against India. It never ends. And we have to stop enabling, tolerating, and supporting people who are basically corrupt dictators who are not looking out for our interest, aren't looking out for their own people's interest, and are angering and alienating the people of Pakistan while they are ripping off the taxpayers of America. And we need to send that message clear. And when Bush talks about what a great ally and a great Democrat Musharraf is, that is absolute nonsense, and it's done enough damage to our country, and now we see the damage it's continuing to do in Pakistan on the news right now.
Well, and it's not just Musharraf. We tend to support the wrong sides in many countries around the world. And I fully agree with you about getting out of Iraq. There was some talk about moving the 26,000 Marines from Iraq to Afghanistan. But my question would be, why do you think Afghanistan could ever be stabilized?
Oh, I think Afghanistan could be stabilized. It won't be easy and it won't be quick. But you can't just neglect it. I mean, it's not only, Tony, that we're not giving enough military support and that our allies are not giving enough support, which they aren't. It's much worse than that. We have done virtually no human needs, virtually nothing that would lift up poor folks there, and that has been neglected since 2001, 2002 as well. And you have basically every dollar, every gun, every troop, every ounce of our attention has been so obsessively focused on Iraq that every other part of the world has been neglected. It is possible to bring some greater stability to Afghanistan. We have lost a lot of time and through the neglect and the misappropriation of monies and the misjudgment and this obsession that historians will look back with amazement that anybody could support it in Iraq that's been going on and it continues today. We talk about, is the surge working? As though this is some kind of a little league game while the rest of the world is going to hell before our very eyes. It's the rest of the world that matters, not the surge and not the obsession with Iraq. And until we change that obsession and change that policy, things will continue to get worse in Afghanistan, on the border there, in Pakistan, and we haven't even begun to talk about the Al-Qaeda resurgence in northern Africa, such as in Algeria, which is a big crisis that I predict, unfortunately, we're going to be reading a lot more about in the next 1 to 10 months.
Brent, I'm so frustrated by all of this that I really don't see that we can do much except get out ourselves and create some sort of multinational UN-backed force that would act as the world's policeman, because we can't go into Algeria, we can't attack Iran, we can't prop up Musharraf or a replacement. I don't think that we can fix Afghanistan. I think the Soviets got that very clear, as did the British a century earlier. But
Agree, Tony, that we have a policy that our allies and other democratic countries around the world actually support, if we ever do. When we have that, we'll get much more allied commitment, much more NATO commitment, much more capability to use the United Nations, much more concerted economic support and economic assistance from our allies as well as us. Part of the problem is when you have a policy nobody else supports, the best you get is lip service, and what you really get is they don't help. They turn away, and they basically stand aside and let us take the heat and let us take the hit. The degree that we are going it alone is just extraordinary, and most Americans still don't fully understand it. And that includes Afghanistan, where there has been more Allied support than in Iraq. But right now, even Secretary Gates is now saying that our allies aren't doing nearly enough. And the point is, they have to believe in the policy. And when we don't have leadership that our allies believe in, we're not going to get their support through NATO. We're not going to get their diplomatic support in the UN. We're not going to get their economic support for the human needs assistance and the hearts and minds and to make life better for people. And so, in effect, we have robbed from the entire world to pursue this policy in Iraq, and we have this idiot's debate about, is the surge working? We now have 170,000-some-odd troops in Iraq right now, still, a year after the Democrats won an election for control of Congress and the American people voted to do the opposite. And as long as we continue that and go it alone, We'll see the British leaving Iraq, which they are. We'll see NATO not doing as much as they should be doing in Afghanistan because they don't believe in the policy and they don't believe that they're in the loop with George W. Bush. So they basically act as polite as they can, get the hell out, and wait for him to leave. And that's a tragedy because when we continue this kind of thing, you'll get more Benazir Bhuttos being assassinated, and we'll have more excuses for dictators like Musharraf who are not our allies and not our friends.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Do we stay in these countries if we don't have the support to even protect ourselves?
I think we have to phase out of Iraq starting yesterday, not all at once, but in a rational and intelligent way. I think you want to then move with Afghanistan into more multinational support, more economic support, more NATO support, and I think you want to bring the UN back into business. They cannot do it with a unilateral Bush policy. They can do it with the kind of policy that the next president will probably do, whether it's a Democrat or even some of these Republicans. We have to return to normalcy in the life of the world, and Bush has taken us away, and the beginning of the solution is to get us back into the world community.
Brent Badowski, our Washington Observer, thank you very much for being with us today on America Back on Track.
Take care.
I wish he had better news. Okay, a couple of commercial messages and we'll be back with Seat Notes right here on America Back on Track. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex foam and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at MontereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
Attention homeowners, this is Sharon Law Tucker. You've heard me talk about various mortgage types over the past several months. Now I want to talk to you about reverse mortgages. I believe that quality of life and having options is extremely important. The biggest concern for most seniors today is to stay in their homes, yet they are living on an income that can no longer meet their basic living needs. Through reverse mortgage loan products, I can help senior homeowners stay in their homes, get tax-free cash for any purpose, including monthly income, home improvements, medical care, travel, and much more. I can help you remove the stress and worry from your life, take the burden of responsibility from your children, and enjoy a better quality of life. If you are a senior homeowner, call me today for a free copy of the Reverse Mortgage Handbook. I'll send it to you at no cost, no obligation. Phone me, Sharon Law Tucker, at the Reverse Mortgage Center, 831-809-1705, 831-809-1705. Pacific Home Lending is licensed by the California DRE, license number 01254837.
Fifty-four past the hour in time for Seat Notes. Two Filipino immigrants who have been in the country for almost 30 years, living exemplary lives, were about to be deported because of a paperwork error they committed back in 1990. The government says they lied about their marital status at the time, though that seems not to be the case. The error they had made was that when they applied for citizenship, they were single, but by the time they were granted their visas, they were married. And that was a cause for deportation? Please. Not only is it a minor clerical matter, but these people are contributing citizens. The husband is a doctor ministering to over 2,000 grateful patients in a highly underserved area of central Pennsylvania, while his wife operates a grocery store and bakery. They have considerable support, including a powerful letter from someone in the Department of Homeland Spuriousness, which oversees the Immigration Department. The couple has a lawyer, but the bureaucrats seemed for a long time to be winning. I wish I were surprised. Of course we should have immigration rules, for goodness sakes. We had rules that worked until the mid-80s when we allowed about 250,000 people in a year, and there was proper documentation. Now we are letting millions in every year and without documents.
We've spoken in this program before about what to do about this problem, and we will be doing it again in future broadcasts. But in this particular case, this is not about illegal immigration. It's about the government's failure to be able to discern between people who will make good American citizens, a couple who have proven in this case to everyone's satisfaction, probably even the government's, and those who wouldn't. But because these degenerates, and I'm talking about the bureaucrats, put rules before reason, because they refuse to buck the system, Pennsylvanians are in danger of losing a much-needed doctor and the country losing a pair of good citizens. A public uproar didn't even seem to nudge the immigration folks, but finally they came around, granting the couple an indefinite stay of the deportation order. The couple probably will now need an order from Congress. Congress has to pass a special measure to allow them to stay here as citizens. I think that's ridiculous, that someone at the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division couldn't look at the facts and make an exception to the rules, if any rules were in fact broken. No wonder people think their government isn't responsive. Responsive? How about counterproductive? Of course, judging from how little Congress has accomplished, passing this uncontroversial feel-good measure could even be a challenge for them. There's no question that America's greatness is based on its people. We are a nation of immigrants. People would come here to better themselves and take part in this marvelous social experiment of democratic participation, the realization of dreams, the contribution of wit and wisdom and strength to the common weal. That is how America became great. And in order to regain that mantle of greatness, we must take back our government from the mindless twits who stand in the way of common sense and decency, and then open our doors to those who will share our goals. And that's Seat Notes for December the 27th. Thanks to Jim Manja, founder of IndependentVoice.org, and our Washington Observer, Brent Budowski. Join us again tomorrow and every weekday at noon Pacific for more of America Back on Track. Thank you for being with us today. I'm Tony Seaton.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The anger was evident, along with the heartbreak, as Benazir Bhutto's casket was carried into the streets of Rawalpindi, where she was assassinated earlier today. Reporter Graham Usher was there.
People are taken to the streets, they are burning tires, they are blocking roads, and they are denouncing the government.
Now Pakistan ripples with violence and fires, and everyone ponders what is next.
I'm Mark Noller in Crawford, Texas, where the White House is worried that Bhutto's murder could trigger further turmoil in Pakistan.
After an assassination like this of a political leader, there is a risk of people turning to violence to express their anger.
Speaking for the White House, spokesman Scott Stansel urged calm and called on the Pakistani people to unite against extremists who he said are trying to stop the march of democracy.
Those are anti-Musharraf chants calling for an end to his days in office. Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S., Mahmoud Ali Durrani, says, on the other hand, maybe now people can fight together against Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and other terrorists.
Hopefully, this will improve the resolve of the Pakistani people, the government of Pakistan, and the liberal political forces in Pakistan to combine and make a fresh commitment to fight extremism and terrorism.
Planned elections on January 8th are in question now, with the second opposition party also boycotting. The IRS won't even be able to start processing tax returns with the exemption to the alternative minimum tax until February. You can blame Congress and its late action on the bill for that, IRS Commissioner Linda Stiff.
We regret the inconvenience and the delay for these taxpayers.
On Capitol Hill, the House plans hearings on George Mitchell's report on steroids in baseball, with Mitchell called to testify next month. Connecticut Congressman Chris Shea says players should not be put on the spot until baseball's had a chance to address the report's recommendations. Stephen Lynch of South Boston says the committee ought to keep that option open for later hearings. Trying to piece together what happened in the San Francisco Zoo on Christmas Day is pretty tough. Police Chief Heather Fong says it may be that Carlos Souza Jr., the dead victim, may have been a hero helping distract the tiger and paying the price for it.
Two of the people who had not been attacked yelled to try to distract the tiger. The tiger let go of the first victim and then started to turn towards one of the other victims who was standing there.
Previous reports that the young men taunted the big cat, not yet shown by the evidence, she says, not yet discounted by the detectives. The man with the monkey in his hat said he had no idea he couldn't bring his pet monkey with him on the plane. Customs took the fist-sized tamarin monkey away from the man when he got off the plane from Peru in New York. Worse, the monkey, which was scampering and healthy when they took it, died in the quarantine cage at Customs, and they don't know why. On Wall Street, the Dow was down 192 points today. NASDAQ lost more than 47. Oil, $96.62 a barrel. That's up 65 cents. This is CBS News.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Former Hershey syrup users are telling us why they switched to Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I was looking for something more nutritious for the kids because they drink a lot of chocolate milk. I never really thought about Ovaltine until we went to my mother-in-law's house. Now, that's all we drink. I even got my mom to try Ovaltine. She was a die-hard Hershey syrup person. She was here watching the kids, so she had to drink Rich Chocolate Ovaltine. She loved the Ovaltine taste. Now she drinks it, too.
Ovaltine. Try it for the nutrition. Keep buying it for the taste.
More Ovaltine, please!
Israeli and Palestinian peace negotiators met again today with Jerusalem the focus.
Israel's planned construction of more than 300 new homes in dispute.